So can we say that together? It's bigger than me. And I want to start out by asking a question. What responsibility do you have that you could share with someone else? And another way we could ask that is, if for whatever reason, if for some reason you were not able to lead, whether it's in your church ministry, in your family, but if for whatever reason in the various areas that you and I lead, if we weren't able to lead, is there someone that we could have take our place that could kind of fill in the gap? The Apostle Paul, just like Jesus did, I mean, think about Jesus, entrusted to others responsibility so that when they weren't there, the torch and the baton was still able to be carried. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 4. Paul had some pressing matters that needed to be attended to, and he sent Timothy. There were some important things that needed to be addressed in Corinth, in the church in Corinth, and he sends Timothy to the church. Look at these verses in verse 14. It says, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church. Now, he's saying that there's a problem that has taken place, and it's a problem because there's no fathers, no spiritual fathers in the church who are there to be able to address and resolve and fix the problem. And then he tells him, imitate me because I am a father to you in the faith. And it's interesting, though, that Paul's means, the way he goes about making himself available to the church, is that he sends Timothy to them. Think about that. Notice this, that Paul is a father in the faith to the Corinthian church. Paul tells the Corinthian church to imitate him. And then Paul sent Timothy to the Corinthians so that they could imitate Paul. Think about that. Paul had confidence that what he wanted communicated and what he had modeled in his own life could be carried out by this guy named Timothy. And I'm sharing this because for you and I as leaders, it's important that we have and are focusing on and raising up Timothy's in our own life, not just so that, not for the sake of our own ministry, but because God entrusts things to us and expects us to pass on what he's placed in us, not for our own good, but for the good of others. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I want to give us some guidelines to successfully share the important responsibilities that God has given every one of us in our life. And the first one is give people room to grow. Give people room to grow. Look at this this verse in Matthew 5, and I'm going to read through a few of them. But it's a parable that Jesus was telling. And he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Now think about that. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. But the man with one bag of gold came. I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. You should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Now it's interesting because it's the same master. The same master entrusted to each of the three people a certain quantity. They all had the same master, but one of them had a different perspective of how that master would use them or could use them or how he would respond to what they did with what had been entrusted to them. And I think too often we identify with the man who goes and buries what has been entrusted to us with thoughts like, well, I'm not important enough to invest into someone else. There's nothing that's significant or valuable enough within me. There's nothing that I have of value that is worth investing in another person and entrusting that to them. But I would challenge that because what has God has placed something, ultimately the gift of salvation, but even beyond that, he's entrusted things to us that he would expect and desire of us to multiply in the life of another person. Or even, I don't have enough. You know, I don't have enough. Maybe, you know, I don't have enough fill in the blank. It's the wrong perspective. God can bless and wants to bless and will bless exactly who we are and where we are, but he does so with the intention that we would not remain the same. He doesn't want us to remain the same. Jesus constantly, think about his disciples, he constantly gave his disciples room to grow. Think of Peter. Think of the guys that he had, that he was living life with. He was constantly allowing them room to grow. And that's the challenge for you and I, is who's in our life that we are willing and giving them the opportunity to grow? Who are we taking the time to invest into and allowing them to grow? Who is in your life that God wants you to invest into? You know, take out a pen and paper when you get home tonight or later on this week. Who's in your life that God wants you to invest into? What gifts, and same thing with this, what gifts have you been given that can be used to encourage the gift in others? Take the time and think about those things and write them out. Second thing, to make sure that we effectively share responsibility, that we effectively raise up a Timothy. Stay where you make your greatest contribution, but lead as if you won't always be there. Okay? Where in your ministry, your life, whatever the case, where in your ministry and life do you make the greatest impact? Okay? Think about that. Ask yourself that. And then focus your efforts there. But remember, again, it's not about you and I. It's about the people that God has placed in our life that we can invest into and raise up. When it comes to entrusting and sharing the ministry that God has given you and I in our lives, it's important to never lose sight that he's done that so that we can equip others. No one else is going to raise up the Timothys that God has expected you and I to raise up. No one else is going to do it. You know, they may have someone else come along in their life at a different point that, you know, God could use. But I wonder how many people that we come into contact with that could possibly be that person that we're to invest into. Just a few thoughts on that. Sharing ministry responsibilities, as we talk about actually having someone that we raise up alongside of us in ministry, that does not mean that they become a gopher or a yes man. We should respect and realize that they're a peer, that they're a co-laborer, and even a co-heir in Christ. Okay, so there's a great amount of respect that we need to share among each other as members of the body of Christ. And then also, sharing and equipping others in ministry is a privilege, and we should be humbled to do so. Okay? And then thirdly, to ensure that we successfully pass on the responsibilities that have been entrusted to us, is view the relationships in your life as long distance, not short term. And a great example of this is obviously Jesus. I mean, think about that. He chose 12 men in one day to be his followers. I mean, evangelism and relationship and friendship and all those things come really quick. But he took 12 men and turned them into disciples over 3 years. He chose them in one day, but then he spent the next 3 years of his life. Jeremiah, you guys know Jeremiah, George? He really encouraged me the other day because it was around my birthday. I just turned 33. And he's like, hey, come on, man. Jesus had already died on the cross and resurrected by the time he was 33. What have you done with your life? I'm like, not much. So he gathers these men in one day and then spends the next 3 years of his life with them, investing and pouring into them to ensure that the ministry that had been entrusted to him would be carried out through them. Dr. Dick Eastman, when he was here, we were fortunate enough to spend a lunchtime with him, and he just talked and talked, and we just all sat there and listened, and he shared that he lives his life in a way believing God has placed within him words and life to share with others. And he lives his life in a way where every time he meets someone, he asks himself the question, could this be the next person to really make a difference in this world? And what if we looked at the people in our lives with that type of perspective? I mean, would it change the way that we talk to them? Would it change the opportunities that we give them? I think it could change everything. Or Pastor Doug is a great example. There's times where I'm riding with Pastor Doug and he'll get a phone call. And I promise you, this has literally happened. And he'll be talking to this guy who's now a full-grown adult. And this was a guy that was in his youth ministry when he had first started in youth ministry. Going way back. You know, this kid might have been a young teenager. And here this guy is, years later, still connected to his life. Because people like Pastor Doug, Dr. Dick Eastman, and lots of other people live their lives in a way where they realize that relationships aren't just short-term. They actually can end up becoming long-distance. You think Pastor Doug knew when he met that kid that he would still be connected 40, 30 years later? No way. But who knows how God wants to connect people in our lives? So our impact on the world is determined by our impact on people. And that is typically one person at a time. We all talk about, oh, I want to make an impact on the world, but our impact on the world is going to be determined by our impact on people. And that typically takes place one person at a time. So I want to challenge us to not lead our ministry, to not lead our lives asking, how can people help me build my dream? You know, when I think about having a First Connect team night or whatever, how can these people help me lead First Connect so that I don't get fired from Church on Fire for having a bad First Connect? What if I lived my life? That'd be a terrible way to live. Ask, how can I build people to help them dream? Don't lead your ministry or life asking, how can people help me build my dream? Ask, how can I build people to help them dream? Does that make sense? So I'm going to close with this. A few traits to look for in a possible Timothy. You know, there could be some Timothys that are right under our nose. You know, who knows? Ask yourself these questions. You know, maybe there are needs that you have in the ministry that you serve in. And you don't have to be the ministry leader, the director of the greeter. You don't have to be Lisa Hand to have a Timothy. We're all called to have Timothys, no matter what capacity we serve in. Ask yourself these questions, though. Do they share your heart and the heart of the church? Can you be friends with them? You're going to have a real hard time raising up a Timothy if you can't be friends with them. And then thirdly, are they teachable? Do they have is there a teachable quality within them to where if you did want to invest in, you know that you wouldn't be wasting your time? Ask yourself those three things. Do they share your heart? Can you be friends with them? And are they teachable? And then lastly, three ways to determine who may be a Timothy in your life. Well, firstly is prayer. Ask God to knit your hearts together and to connect you in ministry. Ask God to show you who those people might be and then to begin to knit your hearts together. That's essentially pastoring, that your heart would be in their hearts and their heart would be in your heart. Pray and ask God to do that. Be aware and observant of those around you. You know, the person or the people that God wants you to share ministry with may already be close to you. Just it's a matter of us being aware, being observant, not just rushing about our business, but actually taking the time to be aware, to be present when we're with people. And then thirdly, use discernment. Begin to invite those that you prayerfully identify to share in ministry with you. I mean, you got to open the door. You got to take that step and ask, hey, I want you to come alongside me in this. You know, and just begin entrusting responsibility to them and see what sticks. Give a little out and see what they carry. And remember again that discipleship, which that's essentially what that is, it is a slow process. You know, Jesus chose the men in one day, then spent 3 years with them. Evangelism comes quick. Discipleship can be a slow process. He spent those 3 years ensuring that his heart and his ministry and the things of God would successfully transfer, that the baton would be passed. Here's a model that we use at CFM when we want to transfer mission and heart with those that we do ministry with. It says this, I do ministry, you watch. So when you bring someone alongside of you, maybe maybe they're not familiar with how you make coffee or how you should take someone to a seat on the usher team or how you should greet someone at the door. You know, that each of those, there's an art to those things. I do ministry, you watch. Hey, just come be with me. Come see how we do this. I do ministry, you watch. We do ministry together. You do ministry, I watch. And then you release them. Not from your life, but to do the things that you've entrusted in them to do. You release them. And then you repeat. I do ministry, you watch. We do ministry together. You do ministry, I watch. You do ministry. So I want us to close by asking just these two questions. Again, who is in your group, your ministry, your life that you could mentor and entrust ministry to? And then let's ask God to do this within us. Allow God to multiply the gifts in the ministry within you and in others. Amen? Amen.